welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host. Thank you for joining me. It is very great to have you here. I want to say today, straight up, that I'm very grateful for the space that I have left myself between recording the segment with Scotty and putting out the podcast. So you'll hear in the segment with Scotty that we recorded the week after Michaela had her 21st birthday and we had a big party and we all talk about that. And then from that Thursday until today, which is Tuesday, the 30th of August, I have been flat chat and just unable to record my podcast. And that's why I give myself 2 weeks space. So I know that that messes up time for you listening, but I'm grateful that you give me that space. And it's one of those things that I've done and thought, well, it doesn't really matter what people think about this. This is what I need to do in order to keep myself sane. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today, is find out the things that you need to do to keep yourself sane. So it was really good to talk to Scotty. And we talk about introversion and extroversion. But I wanted to say too in the introduction that the advice I'm giving today is not just for introverts. And I think sometimes us introverts can think that extroverts can just keep going and going and going and going. And because they're recharging from being around people, that means that they never need to worry about having space in their schedule or having time alone or having anything like that. And that's just not the case, is it? Extroverts are people too. They need space and time to recharge. And so don't think that I'm excluding any extroverts. I am talking to all of us. The other thing I wanted to say before we get into the talk with Scotty was that I heard back from my friend Helen after last time, and she was talking about asking for help, which was what the last podcast was about. And she said that she was second guessing. She needed a lift into hospital, and she knew that would mean a lot of driving for her son, and she was quite worried about doing that because she didn't want him to be exhausted. But then she realized that she just needed to ask for help and give him the opportunity to say no. And of course he said, yes, Mum, I'm definitely happy to do it. And she was so grateful for his help. So I think just in addition to the asking for help thing, the point that I got from what Helen said to me was we need to give other people the opportunity to say yes or no and not just second guess and make their decisions for them. Sometimes it's just good to ask for help and see what happens. And if all of us are good at saying no when we need to say no, then we'll just get along quite well together, won't we? So that's such a big topic all on its own. But I just wanted to say thank you, Helen, for giving me feedback. It was really lovely to hear from you. And yeah. And of course, if anybody else wants to give me feedback on anything that I'm saying, please feel free to do so. So anyway, let's get into the chat with Scotty, and then we'll talk more about that afterwards.
Ruth Amos is with me again on this Thursday morning. Good morning, Ruth. How you doing?
Good morning, Scotty. I'm really good. How are you?
Oh, good. We had a big birthday last weekend.
We did.
Your daughter-in-law, my daughter, 21 years old.
21. Isn't we had a big party.
At your house, and you're an introvert like me. How'd you go with that? Did you sleep the next day?
The next day I did pretty much nothing.
I saw you on the night. I'm like, how are you going with your introvertedness? And you and I were just like looking for some corner to you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hide in the, you know, corner or find someone who'll have a deep conversation. And
it's funny because people go to me, oh, but you're on the radio. You know, you must be an extrovert. But to me, it's not about being extroverted. It's about where you charge your batteries.
Exactly. It's the energy level thing. Yeah. So I actually did not very much on Saturday, and then I did not very much on Sunday as well. And that way I was ready to start the week on Monday. But yeah, if I'd sort of thought, well, okay, up to church, off we go, you know, I need time. I need time alone to recharge.
Yeah, that recharge that battery.
It's the way it works.
What are we talking about today?
Well, I'm actually talking to those people who are feeling completely overwhelmed. So this is specifically for those people who are walking along the street and thinking, maybe if I got into a car accident, I could have a week off in the hospital. Or maybe if I, you know, had knee reconstruction surgery, then I could lie still for a while. Those people.
Can I say to you, this happened to me years ago, and I'm normally somebody who's really strong in my head, but I was doing Brekkie Radio for so long, and this is going to make me sound like an absolute crazy, but I remember standing at the top of our stairs one morning, and I was just so exhausted getting up, and I'm just like, you know, like, I don't know how I'm going to do this today. And I remember standing at the top of the stairs going, I could throw myself down and get a broken leg and have some time off.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, what? where did that come from? Like, and so then I ended up, you know, coming in saying, I need some holidays. Like, I desperately need some holidays. But it's not crazy people that have these thoughts, is it?
No, no. And I remember reading it in Susan Cain's book, Quiet, and she'd said the same thing to her friend. Oh, do you ever fantasize about having a car accident? Her friend is like, no. So, you know, I think it's us introverts who maybe are the ones who have this feeling, because we're just feeling like it's go, 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 and we never get time to recharge our batteries. And I just want to say, if you have that thought in your head today, yes, you're not crazy. And it's probably not even a sign of mental illness. It's a sign that you need a break and you need to take it. And you might be waiting for some outside authority to say to you, like, take a holiday. But I'm afraid that it may come down to you, and you may need to be the one who sticks your hand up and says, I need a break. And you might be thinking, well, but people won't be able to keep going, and it's so important what I do, or, you know, how my kids going to cope or whatever. But I tell you what, they're not going to cope if you keep going and running yourself into a ground.
Yeah. And also, you find when you do finally say, you know what, I just need a break here, that the world continues.
It does. It turns
without you. Not everything changes. And you know, like, and there's pressures. There's so many pressures on people to just keep going and keep going to the point where they just absolutely exhaust themselves. And I think we should be able to say, you know what, I just really need a break right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So take that break.
Take that break. I came into work that morning after I had that crazy thought in my head. I came into work and I said to my boss, I said, look, I need to change something. Because this is what I thought this morning, and this is just outside of character for me. Like, I'm not that, you know. And so he ended up saying, just immediately take 2 weeks.
Great.
And then he said, and then let's put you on drive for 3 months. So he put me on the drive program for 3 months. This is like a number of years ago now. And then after 3 months, I moved back to Brekkie. And it was doable, you know, because it had 3 months break. So I just think if you just got to tell people where you're at.
Yeah. Moz, also my husband, he had a hernia operation. And that gave him a bit of a break. And, well, unfortunately, his boss called him back into work the next day after this major operation. And at that point, he was like, well, okay, something foundational needs to change here.
Wow.
And our whole life took a change. And so, yeah, when you take this break, you might find that everything changes for you. But you might find that you just can think of two or three things that you can remove from your life, and then things can become more manageable.
Yeah.
But you've got to take the time to actually rest and then think it through. So, yeah.
And they might change for the better, because you might put things in a more healthy spot.
Oh, I think it will definitely change for the better. Yeah. If you've got these thoughts in your head, then take the break.
Change.
There will be change. It will be for the better. It will be worth it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
RuthAmos.com.au, and you can find out more about Ruth, and you can read her blogs and hear about her books and all this sort of stuff. Thanks, Ruth.
So I didn't know Scotty's story, but it turned out to be highly appropriate to what I wanted to say. Isn't it interesting that, these thoughts can come upon us, and they're a real signal that something needs to change. And, I mean, hopefully you can grab it before you have these intrusive thoughts of what if I broke my leg, but they are just a sign to us to say something needs to change, and we need to think about simplifying. I thought it was interesting that we had two stories between us, one of a supportive boss that was, you know, saw Scotty's need, jumped in and dealt with it and fixed it. And that was really, really great. And then we had the story of my husband's boss who, even though he'd had this really huge surgery, was just like, well, you know, we really, really need you. You have to come in and work. And for us, that was, again, just a signal to us of, okay, we need to change something. So, whatever your situation in life, the thing is that, and it's so hard because I don't know your situation in life, and you might be just feeling completely stuck and in such a hard place that you can't do anything about it. You might be financially stuck, or you might be stuck with family pressures and things like that. And you know me, right? The last thing I want to do is lay extra guilt on you. But what I really want to encourage you to do is to try to find a little bit of time that you can sit and ascertain where you're at and think it through, and then maybe you'll be able to find something that will be able to change for you. And there are helpful reasons for the pressure that you might be feeling under, but there's unhelpful pressure that you really need to ignore. And that's sort of what I'm talking about. So as I said in the introduction, I'm not just talking to introverts here, I'm talking to extroverts as well. Now, my definition, and I want to make it clear before we go any further, of introversion and extroversion is, as I said to Scotty, all about energy and how you recharge. And so I am an introvert, way, way along the introvert end of the scale, and I recharge by having time alone. I love people. I enjoy people's company. I am friendly. I am able to small talk with the best of them. I even enjoy big parties like we had for Michaela's birthday. I went to a concert on Saturday night and I enjoyed being with people there. That's all fun. That's all good. But what I need to make sure that I do is schedule enough time that I am alone in order to recharge my batteries. I need time to just let my thoughts go, or to listen to podcasts or watch some really nothing TV that I don't get emotionally involved in, or whatever I need, just time to not be relating to people and to be able to recharge my batteries. Whereas Moz is more extroverted than I am, and if he spends too much time alone, he finds himself getting slower and more bored, and he just, you know, starts just mindlessly playing computer games, even though he doesn't want to, but he can't get enough energy to do any of the projects or anything that he wants to do because he's just so tired and lethargic because he hasn't been around people. And so for him, being with people recharges his batteries, and he needs to make sure that he spends enough time with people to recharge his batteries. So you can imagine, for us, that's a balance that we need to work out all the time. And it helps that I work from home by myself and he goes to work with people. So that gives us the sort of balance that we need to come together and enjoy each other's company at the end of the day. But that doesn't mean that extroverts can just keep going and going and going as well. They need to figure out what they need to do to recharge their batteries. It just may look very different from me spending, you know, because when I really need to recharge, and I'm trying to do this about once a quarter, I need to go away to somewhere away from home, you know, a little town somewhere in the south of Tassie or up on the east coast or wherever I go. And I like to spend three or four whole days by myself, just writing, thinking, listening to podcasts, going for long walks, and knitting, of course, now that I knit. And that recharges my batteries. But for you, that may be the worst possible. You know, you might think, what a nightmare, just by myself, no one to talk to, no one to bounce ideas off. So, yeah, it's about finding what you need to do to recharge. But regardless of where we are on that particular spectrum, I think all of us can get to a point where we feel like we've got too much on. And one of the indicators that you're feeling like this is that thought, you know, maybe if I get hit by a car on the way to work, I'll feel better. Or really obviously now, oh, if I could just catch COVID, I'd have 7 days at home by myself, or 7 days at home with no pressure to do anything. Having that COVID isolation really simplifies things. And my parents had COVID recently and they're good. They're well now, and praise God for that. But, you know, it was interesting listening to them the first couple of days of their COVID isolation, just saying, oh, wow, oh, I don't even have to, there's no pressure. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do anything. We're just going to be at home for the next 7 days. We now know what the next 7 days hold, and it's nothing. And I am not suggesting that anyone go out of their way to get COVID just for the 7 day holiday. I am not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, if you are looking for that outside authority to give you the break that you need, then you need to maybe find some inside authority to give you the break that you need. And that's hard. That's really, really tough. Saying, I can't do this thing this weekend, or I'm not going to join your group, or I've been encouraged to join a prayer group on Saturday, in fact, two prayer groups on a Saturday morning recently from two different areas. And Saturday is my Sabbath. Saturday is my day off, and I try not to do anything peoply or work-ish on Saturday. And prayer is definitely relating to God, but going to a prayer group at a set time on a Saturday morning also feels to me, because of what my work entails, like work. And so even though it's a holy thing to do, to go to this prayer group, and look, I'd encourage people to do it if it works for you, for me, I feel like I need to say no to these prayer groups. And boy, does that look bad, you know? No, I'm sorry, I can't go to the prayer group because I need to spend that time in bed reading a book. I mean, it sounds awful. And it'd be really, really nice if someone external to me could say, no, sorry, Ruth can't do that prayer group because she needs to do other things, you know, and then I don't have to take the responsibility for it. But the truth is, I do need to take the responsibility for it. It is my job to decide whether or not to do this thing. And it's my job to say, no, I've dedicated that time to something else. That time is scheduled to do nothing in my diary, and therefore nothing is what I need to do. So you may feel like it looks bad to say no. People will say things like, it's going to look strange if you don't show up, or your aunt is going to be really disappointed that you're not there, or even more positively, oh, we'd so love to catch up with you, we'd so love to see you, we'd so love for you to be there. But that doesn't actually mean that you have to be there. And it may be that you need to draw on that authority that you have within yourself to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Really hard stuff. But you're not always needed to do absolutely everything. You're not. And one of the things that I find an easier way to look at this is to say, what am I saying yes to? What's the thing that I am saying yes to that means I can say no to that? And to do that, to find what I'm saying yes to, I have mind mapped my life, I have prayed, I have talked to people, I have taken time out to look at my values and things like that, and that's helped. When we had Michaela's birthday party, and I'm going back to that again, as I said to Scotty, I took all of Saturday off, to prepare for having people in the house, and because Saturday is my day off. And then because of the party, I thought, no, I'm not going to go to church on Sunday morning and see more people. I'm going to stay home and be by myself and recuperate again. And I felt really weird about that decision. I felt quite strange, and I was very guilty. I felt guilty all day Sunday. And I thought, why am I doing this? And then I remembered that one of the things that I had said yes to is having enough emotional energy for my family. It's important to me that I am available to support my children and to support my parents emotionally. And to do that, I know that I need time alone to recuperate. So by the end of Sunday, I was thinking, you know what? I had to have this day at home in order to have enough emotional energy to support my family in the coming week. On Monday, I got the message that my parents had COVID, and I was able to pack up everything and go down and spend 2 full days with them in their house, supporting them as they went through the hard days of COVID. And I could do that because I was immune, because I'd had COVID quite recently. And so, I've tested several times and everything's fine. But, you know, I was able to be with them, and I had the emotional energy to do that. And if I'd gone to church on Sunday morning, I'm not sure that I would have had the emotional energy to do that. So trusting God that he knew what was coming up in my schedule that I had no idea about was one thing. But the fact that I knew that I had said yes to having emotional energy for my family meant that I could say no to church, which I really enjoy going to, but that I didn't have the emotional energy to do both. So I hope that's clear, that if you have taken the time to say, I know what I need to say yes to, it helps you to say no to other highly worthwhile and really profitable things, because you're saying yes to other things. So my book, My Year of Saying No, has been a very helpful book. I went through a stage where I felt like I was undergoing a masterclass about simplifying my life and saying no, and I put it all in a book, which you can find on all the book places. So Apple, Kobo, Amazon, Koorong, wherever you can find it. It's called My Year of Saying No, lessons I've learned about saying no, saying yes, and finding more peace in my life, quite possibly, something like that. Anyway, by Ruth Amos, you can find the book there, or just email me. I'm happy to send you one myself. But so I've written a book on saying no. I'm writing another book about very similar things, and I'm leading a workshop about saying no at the Bishop's training event that we have down here in Hobart and up in Launceston this month, and I still find it difficult. So I'm not expecting you to listen to one podcast and get this all clued out, but I just want to encourage you that if you are feeling overwhelmed, you need to somehow squeeze out some time, whether it's just 15 minutes each day until you can get it clear in your head, to figure out what your purpose is, what you need to say yes to, and just to see whether there's something in your life that you can cut out, even if it's going to disappoint people, or if there's something that you can simplify about your life, if there's something that you're really just paying too much attention to and that can do with a little bit less attention. Like, for example, cleaning your house. Like, you may be an absolute perfectionist in cleaning your house, and it may be that your house can maybe be cleaned a little less often or with a little less detail, just for a period of time, just for a season in your life until you feel more under control. So that sort of thing. Just to simplify and make the main thing the main thing and keep the main thing the main thing. So if you're feeling overcomplicated and overfull and just feel like you're banging your head against the wall, can I encourage you to take some time out to stop banging your head against the wall just for long enough so you can see where the pain point is and you can make steps to change things. When Moz had that situation where his boss sent him to the work the day after, that really got us thinking something needs to change. And in the end, he quit his job completely. He went to uni, he retrained as a teacher, and our life has been amazingly improved by that decision. But if we just kept going at the frantic pace that we were going at, I don't know when we would have made that decision. So I'm very grateful for the surgery that he had in order to be able to make that decision, even though, again, we don't desire surgery. What I'm saying to you is please don't push yourself to the point where you actually need a high level of surgery or some major illness in order to stop to make the change in your life. You can change it now. You can be your own authority. You are the only one who knows what fills you up with energy and what drains it. And you might have trouble finding that out because you haven't thought it through yet, but you're the authority in your life, and you need to take that authority and say yes to the things that you should be saying yes to and no to some of these less essential things. Yes, you will let people down. Yep. Yes, you won't please some people. But if you've got your priorities right, then the important people are the important people. And I know there are seasons in your life where all of the, you know, that juggling analogy that some balls are glass and some balls are rubber. So some things you can drop and they'll bounce, but other things you can drop and they'll smash. And sometimes it feels like all the balls are glass balls. Sometimes, like in the last fortnight for me, you're going to have a really busy time. And if it's just for a season, look, I'm happy for you and go for it and put all the effort in that you can. But if this is your life constantly for years on end, then maybe some of those balls aren't as glass as you think they are, and maybe you can let them drop. So that's my encouragement to you today. I feel the pushback coming through the computer. No, you don't know my life. And no, I don't know your life. And I would love to sit down with each one of you individually and say, let's talk this through. Let's think about it for a bit and see where you're at and encourage you about what I can see that maybe you could drop. But again, it's not me that needs to make this decision. It's you. And all I can say to you is that my efforts to simplify my life have led to me having a lot more energy, being able to reach out to the people that are around me that I need to reach out to without only giving them half of me, but being able to really support my family and those close friends who I want to support, and to be able to follow my dreams of things like podcasting and leading workshops and writing books and things like that, that hopefully will leave a legacy for me in the future and a part of my purpose for living and my meaning. So my life is amazingly better because I took the time to sort out what I should be saying yes to and what I should be saying no to. And I want everyone to be able to live that fulfilled, meaningful, purposeful, restful, peaceful life. And that's why I podcast. So I might leave it there and say again, as always, if you want to chat to me about this, reach out to me, email me ruth@ruthamos.com.au or talk to me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life Blog. I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, and may you have a peaceful week that's full of good things and not so full of the things that are draining you. And I'll chat to you again next time.